Good morning, Cowboys Nation. This is Bryson with InsideTheStar.com, and we are back with you for another episode of Cowboys Weekly. We did take a week off last week, and that was mainly just because when there's a Thursday show and a Thursday game, there's not a whole lot of time for the episode to remain relevant. So I hope you forgive us for that one. We didn't want to, you know, completely uproot our whole schedule for that. But basically, where we are now is the Cowboys have lost two straight. No, they've actually lost three straight. But, you know, since we last covered anything, they lost to the Bills 15-26 on Thanksgiving and to the Chicago Bears 24-31 last Thursday. Now they also face the Los Angeles Rams team that's playing pretty well and technically just one game ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles for first place in the NFC East. The pressure is definitely there. What we're going to look at this week on Cowboys Weekly is, are the Cowboys better off not making the playoffs this year? NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that Jason Garrett has been informed he will not return next year without a deep playoff run. Kicker Brett Maher has been let go, and veteran and former Cowboy Kai Forbath was signed. And how big of a nightmare is the Cowboys versus Rams game shaping up to be? Joining me, as always, is Inside the Star senior writer Jess Haney. How's it going, Jess?
Oh, things have been better, and you just outlined a lot of the reasons why.
Yeah, it has been a it's been a rough fall and winter now.
Yeah, it's a miserable time, I think, for any Cowboys fan. I don't remember, we've had bad seasons, but I don't remember a season where there was this much misery without some sort of easily pointable cause, like a Tony Romo injury or an Ezekiel Elliott legal issue or a Sean Lee injury or something where you're going, man, if we just had that or just this. This is just now pure out, we stink. I mean, and that's really all it comes down to. And on a from a roster standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from a general manager standpoint, everyone is in question right now as to the fitness to their job. And that's tough.
Yeah, it definitely reminds me of Garrett's interim season as head coach, you know, with the way Wade Phillips went. It was at 1-7, and then we turned it around and, you know, actually finished the second half of the year with a winning record for that portion. Just one of those things where the new coach, the new leadership, the excitement, the possibilities, it all did what it needed to do.
Yeah, and I think that at this point, anyone who is still enthusiastic, that is their enthusiasm, is the idea that Jason Garrett's on the way out, and maybe, you know, finally we can get someone in here who's going to really put the team over the hump and back into the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. And, you know, you gotta wonder, though, is Garrett the problem? Because the Cowboys' woes go back well before him. The common denominator in all of this is Jerry Jones. And will the Cowboys ever really get back to glory with Jerry Jones in a position of final say and general manager authority? That's what I'm stuck with.
Yeah, and that's a tough one that we're not going to get any resolution on. Jerry Jones ain't selling the team. He ain't walking away right now. Nah. And despite all the people clamoring for Troy Aikman to take over as GM, that ain't happening. Aikman doesn't want it. Jones probably don't either.
No.
But, you know, I mean, it's just we're kind of in this situation now. So we got to look at it, and we're going to talk about some uncomfortable topics today. And it just is what it is. So let's jump right into the first one. Are the Cowboys better off not making the playoffs this year, given everything that's going on when it comes to Jason Garrett's future, the rest of the coaching staff, and even possibly contract implications for the players that are coming up for an extension or renewal, and then down to the draft as well? What do you think?
Well, there are a lot of questions within that question. Tell me how they're going to perform in the playoffs. To me, if you're asking that question, then you're kind of stating, you're implying that the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs, get blown out in the first round, and that's the end of their playoff run.
No. Let's say by that question, they go into the playoffs, they do not make it to the Super Bowl, but let's say they play in a championship game and lose.
If the Cowboys can get back to the NFC championship game for the first time since I was in middle school, then yeah, I'm happy with that. I want to see that happen.
After this whole season, if they are able to even make it into the playoffs, it'll be by complete fluke. And do you think that that would actually redeem the season?
I mean, do we call the 2014 New York Giants, you know, a fluky team that won a Super Bowl, or do we call them Super Bowl champions? Did they get a ring?
Okay, that's fine. We're not talking about Super Bowl. We're talking about stopping short of that.
Okay, so, I mean, but that's what I'm saying is, are they, at that point, have the Cowboys accomplished something that they haven't done since Barry Switzer was the head coach in getting to the NFC Championship game?
So what you're saying is that the Cinderella story is fine, no matter how the season went up to that point. Even if they get there, you would be hopeful. You would, your fan, the inner fan in you would be excited for the coming year.
You mean for 2020?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you're asking me to put faith that whatever it is right now that is a problem for the Dallas Cowboys, that this organization, that this general manager, this brain trust of Jerry and Stephen Jones and Will McClay are going to make the right moves to improve things. Why should I trust them at this point? I'll take what I can get now. If the team can make the playoffs and have a nice run and win a couple playoff games, get to the NFC Championship game, I'll take it. Because I don't have any faith that they're going to hire the right coach and draft the right people and sign or re-sign the right people. They haven't done it for decades.
So that's what it comes down to you then. You are just what you could – you're all about what you can get right now. You're tired of looking to the future.
Yeah, this isn't the Patriots. This isn't Bill Belichick. This isn't a guy who I know is going to take the crap and turn it into gold. I don't trust that the Cowboys management is going to take advantage of a lower draft pick or increased cap space or any of those things and do anything more with it than they've done for the majority of my life at this point.
Wow. That's really saying something considering how much you and so many others have really kind of lauded the Cowboys for their draft performance, you know? I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at. Right now, the Cowboys are looking at mid-first round, about 13 to 15. And if they lose this weekend, for instance, they move up to just inside the top 10. So there are some definite positions to be gained. And, of course, the rest of the league has to play a certain way for things to play out right. But, you know, I mean, if they – the worst they finish this year, not to say that tanking is the goal, and I firmly believe that that is not even close to possible – but they may still perform to that same end. And I don't know if I can say that I'd be totally upset with that. Yeah, I mean, it goes into that whole rebuild mentality, and it's more waiting and more frustration and more nail-biting. But maybe we get something good.
Then here's my question. You're talking about this in the same year that we dumped Taco Charlton, and he went to Miami and has – doesn't he have about as many sacks as DeMarcus Lawrence now?
Yeah, but Taco Charlton was also inactive last week for the Dolphins, and he's healthy.
Yeah, well, but that's what I'm saying is that, yes, this team has had improved drafting over the last several years. The bar was so low at a certain point that it was easy to improve, but – I'm honestly starting to question how great our drafting is because I'm looking at this offseason. Half of us don't want Byron Jones back. Nobody wants Chidobe Awuzie starting next year. We still don't have anyone at safety we're happy about. Jalen Smith suddenly becoming one of the biggest crapped-on players on the roster. We got the whole Tristan Hill debacle to talk about. I mean, where are we right now from a draft standpoint? The last few years have not been good.
Okay, then what's to get excited about without Garrett then? I mean, if you change the coaching staff out, what's to be excited about if the players are that bad?
I'm sorry, rephrase that. I'm not sure what you're asking me.
You're basically saying that the players are that bad that we're not drafting good and that we've been overhyping them and now we're starting to get a clearer picture of it and your perception is better now. Okay, well, if that's the case, then what does it matter if Jason Garrett's the head coach? A new coach isn't going to change anything because the players are bad. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
That's basically, yeah. That's kind of where I'm at this point. I'm really starting to question if our team has a Jason Garrett problem or if it has a far greater problem and that we have overrated the talent. You know, that whole thing a couple weeks ago where Jerry Jones was saying, you know, I've put together this great roster and the coaches aren't getting it done. Now, how great is this roster? You know, I question that. I really do.
Wow, I question you. I really do. This is, I'm going to go back
and
to my
don't
previous
take this
point.
As-
I'm going to, no. I'm going to go back to my previous point and compare this whole thing to the same thing as in 2010 when Jason Garrett took over. It was 1-7 with Wade Phillips. Then they change the coach and they go 5-3. And I'm sorry, but nothing else changed except for the head coach. The talent was there. The coaching was screwing it up. And I firmly believe that that is what's happening now, that we are seeing each individual player, each individual unit playing badly now because they have given up. They have, Garrett has lost this locker room.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. I really am not. I do think that a coaching change is needed at this point. But my question is, if we really think a new coach is going to take this roster and push them to greater heights than, you know, what Garrett's already done, where he's been 13-3, he's been 12-4, he's won playoff games, but just not gotten past the second round. What coach is out there that's going to definitively change those outcomes?
There are any number of candidates out there who could do it, as we've all been reading about. It's not necessarily, when it comes to a coach, it's not about who's better or worse. Not when you get away from the Bill Belichicks and the, you know, the Norv Turner at the coordinator level. When you get away from those kind of coaches, you're really just looking at different approaches. Each coach is going to have a different effect based on his approach to it, on his demeanor, on his knowledge, on his communication. All of that has a big factor when you're talking about morale, which I think that's what we're talking about now. If Garrett has lost the locker room, if this talented roster cannot perform, cannot execute, or will not, then it's not about their talent. Obviously, they have it. We know they have it. We've known that they've had it for years now, which is part of what's so frustrating because they're wasting it. Putting in a new coach, it's not necessarily one of those things where you can look up a coach's stats and say, okay, well, this one's going to be great, this one's not. If coaching were that easy, the whole game would be easier.
Well, no, you're absolutely right on that. And I agree. I mean, we are at a point where unless you are talking about the Belichicks and some of them, everybody is using, you know, everybody's the same level of chef. It's all about their recipes. And, you know, but then you also have to question what are the quality of the ingredients that they're working with. So I look at all of it in Dallas and I just think that from top to bottom, we are not as good as most people want to say we are. I don't think on any level. I don't think our roster is as talented as people made out to be, particularly on defense. I don't think that, we have good coaches, with the exception maybe of Kellen Moore. I'd like to still see what he and John Kitna could do going forward. I think the entire defensive coaching staff needs to be cleaned out because that's just been abysmal. The special teams coach shouldn't even – I mean, forget him. He shouldn't have a job in any level of football. But just – I mean, it's – I just question this idea that, oh, let's tank – to get a better draft pick, to get more talent for the next guy. Because I don't know that...
That wasn't even the question, though.
That is the question. Because what's the difference between...
No,
if you don't
want to
make the playoffs,
no.
You want to tank, right?
Tanking is a deliberate act done by the team. I'm talking about from a fan standpoint, if you look at this team, are you honestly going to be more upset if they don't make the playoffs and if they do?
I just think it depends. Tell me what that looks like. I mean, if the idea is that we're going to barely miss because we lose to the, you know, lose our tiebreaker to the Eagles, and we, let's say we finish 7-9, and maybe the draft position is 4 or 5 spots different, and now we lost the chance to play in January. Yeah, that disappoints me. If you're going to tell me,
okay,
you know,
okay. Okay, let's move on to the next topic because it's on that same subject, okay. But it actually kind of helps clarify what I'm asking there. It's the bit about Ian Rappaport saying that it's been reported anyway from a source with him. And Ian Rappaport is one of those that I do actually trust. We've had regular communications with him. He always plays us, you know, pretty straight on that. So anyway, you know, that Jason Garrett's been informed he will not return next year without a deep playoff run this year. And that, to me, says, when it comes to the context of the question we're talking about, if the Cowboys do make it to the NFC Championship game, to me, that somehow reaffirms this current coaching staff. It reaffirms the current roster exactly as it is, even with all the crap we've had to deal with this year. It reaffirms it and gives it firmer standing moving forward, which I don't necessarily like. I think we need a shakeup. I think something has to change, and it's got to be drastic. It can't just be a player. It can't just be an offensive coordinator. It needs to be a head coach, a couple of defensive coaches. We need a big change there, and making the playoffs, to hell with the draft position and all that, making the playoffs to me is... having a deep run in the playoffs to me is
it saves jobs you don't want to be saved.
It encourages more of the same. I don't want that. I want things need to change. You know, the pain. What do they say? Change occurs when the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of change. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need that pain to get higher, so there's a change.
So let's talk specifics. If the Cowboys were to get into the playoffs and just score their way to a couple wins, get to the NFC Championship game, and lose. At that point, what coaches are you happy, not happy with? Are you happy with Garrett and Moore sticking around and then overhauling the defensive coaching staff, or do you just want Garrett gone? I mean, where are you with that?
I'm going to trend more towards just Garrett being gone, but it's going to come down to how those games are won in the playoffs. Yeah. You know, I mean, if the defense really shows up, and especially the secondary, I might not be so mad at, you know, Rashard. If the pass rush and the run game or run defense, if they really step it up, then I'm not going to be so mad at Marinelli. You know what I'm saying? It comes down to different things. I don't want anything based on just what I want. I want to see what happens. And at this point, any unit that can turn around, that coach has done more to me than just performing that way all along. Because right now it's a definite turnaround. Mm-hmm. All aspects of this team are struggling.
So why do you give the defensive coaches credit for turning things around, but not the head coach who motivates the players to actually put in the effort?
I didn't say that I didn't. You did.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I said that I would trend toward firing Garrett regardless, just because I'm getting tired of it and I didn't like him to begin with. But I want to see how it actually plays out on each individual coach's job. I want to see how that plays out. If multiple coaches turn around their units, then obviously that's going to point to Garrett getting something right.
Yeah. And that,
but I'm not ruling that out. I'm not narrowing it down. I just named a couple of examples.
Right. And that is what it comes down to, is if the Cowboys go on any kind of magical run, where was the magic? And then who was getting kind of dragged along for the ride? That's what all of the analysis will come down to. I don't, just to me though, the whole idea of, do we sacrifice that opportunity to improve our positioning for next year, whether that's putting us into like a better market for finding a coach, whether that's our cap room, whether it's our draft position, all that stuff. I'm just at this point not ready to say anything because we're still in first place in the NFC East. We can lose to the Rams and win the next two games and still win the division. So it's just as much as it has sucked this year, who knows what can happen? I think that it's just once the players can see the light at the end of the tunnel, that can change everything. I think right now it's just so dark. So if there's anything that can breathe some life back into them, like the reality of, hey, we're going to be in the playoffs, maybe that will help spark something.
Yeah, maybe. And it really can be just that simple. It usually is in the football world. I mean, confidence plays such a huge role. And, man, they don't have it right now. But if they can see it, if they can get it back, they could go on and, you know, become like the Giants, ending up 9-7 and winning the Super Bowl. It's very possible, but I think I'm going to close that topic out because it was a little contentious.
We're taking out our frustration on each other. That's all that is.
A little bit, but, you know, it's due at this point. But what else is due is we're going to go ahead and take a quick break for advertisement, and we will be right back. All righty. Thank you very much for that. Okay, so in other news this week, we have had a change that so many of us have wanted, which is kicker Brett Maher. He is gone. Adios. He's out on the curb. But we brought in Kai Forbath, and I'm not sure that is any improvement.
I'm not either. Unfortunately, that's sort of where we were at this point with making any change at kicker, is a lot of unknown and unsure entities, because Forbath's been around. The last full season he kicked, I think, was in 2017. He wasn't bad, like 84%, I think, on his field goals, which would be like Brett Maher's career high. So is he a guy that we can trust more from the shorter ranges without getting the 60-yard Hall of Fame kicks? Sure. I don't know how much more we can trust him, but the Cowboys must have seen enough that they felt okay that this was an upgrade. I don't think they would have made this move just for the sake of making one.
Well, and you also have to keep in mind that the Cowboys were the first team to sign Forbath. He was an undrafted free agent.
Right.
And, so we've had a look at him before, but he, I believe, suffered an injury, and that's why Dan Bailey ended up taking over. But in that season you're talking about, he was at 84%, and that was, I believe, his worst percentage in a season except for his first year, but that was made worse because he had like two or three kicks blocked, which, you know, isn't all that common, and that does make a big difference.
And he was playing for the Vikings, so I mean, if he was playing games against the Packers and Bears and in windy conditions, some of that stuff, it's going to mess your stats a little bit.
Exactly. But that year also, he went 2017, I believe it was, he went 6 of 9 on kicks over 50 yards. So, you know, he's not entirely a short range kicker. He does have some other options. Mm-hmm. And you do have to look at the fact that, you know, he has played in open stadiums where wind and stuff does factor into it. I want to say that it's not much better, but I also want to say, okay, yeah, maybe that is a little bit better because he has gone 100% on his kicks in a couple of his years. Granted, not full seasons, but you still like to see that.
Maher had gone 1 for 4 or 1 of 4 in the last two games. I mean, it couldn't get any worse. He had hit absolute yips, meltdown mode, whatever you want to call it. He was done.
He had hit everything, including the net sometimes.
Yeah, he had hit everything except the field goals. So, it was time to make a change. And, you know, I kind of sometimes I wish they would just go add some undrafted rookie who didn't get picked up back in the offseason. You know, find the next Dan Bailey. Get him in here, give him some professional coaching and see what happens. There's that guy from LSU who didn't get drafted. He's still floating around. Oh, Lutz, I think. Will Lutz, maybe, is his name. Maybe. And he's never caught on with an NFL team. He was one of the best kickers in college football last year. So I don't know why you don't bring in a guy like that. But Forbath, at least, like you said, he's been around. He's been in the pros. He's made big kicks at times in big situations. So what can it hurt at this point?
And that was really kind of my thought when it came to, like you said earlier, with what's out there now, it's really unknown and unsure or uncertain, you know, prospects to bring in. I kind of, at this point, I kind of favor the idea of bringing in someone unknown, like a Will Lutz, because they're basically, they have nowhere to go but up. You know, but it's one of those things that go big or go home mentality. I mean, at this point, you pretty much have to look at it as, okay, well, let's take a gamble and either it works or it really doesn't.
And part of the decision, too, is this idea that, hey, we may still be in the playoffs. Do we really want to bring in a rookie and have him taking his first NFL kicks in December or in January? You know, I think there was that part of it too. Like, let's get a veteran in here.
And that's exactly my point, why you can't go with it that way, even though it offers the most upside.
Yeah. I mean, they did okay. I guess it was 2017 when Bailey got hurt and Mike Nugent came in.
Yeah.
Nugent wasn't bad. I think this is the move they're making. They're making another Mike Nugent move, hoping Forbath at least hits the kicks you expect him to make. And go from there. It's low risk. Yeah,
at this point, yeah, we are trading, you know, Maher's big leg for a kicker making the kicks you expect him to make. And there's, I'm honestly going to say we take that for granted. All of us, all of the fans, we take that for granted. Doing the things you're expected to do. And I think we have been shown that so much this year, even a little bit last year. It's been nuts with the kicking game lately.
And I know I've said this before, but the 60-yarders count the same 3 points as the 29-yarders. I mean,
yes, they do.
It's just not it's a cool thing. And yes, there are situations where he is suddenly this incredible weapon that most teams don't have, but he's killing you in the short game, and it's demoralizing. When he missed that one kick right before halftime against Chicago, it would have put him at, it would have tied the game at 10-10. He misses that kick, and I mean, it just sucks the life out of you. And his team feels that. So, I mean, we've been talking about the team feeling demoralized. I mean, that's part of it. I think Maher's been part of that. They fight to get in field goal range, which isn't easy. I mean, that is an accomplishment in and of itself, and then he blows it. So,
I don't know. Well, we're going to have to see. Hopefully he can, you know, do better than he has lately, which has not been enough to, you know, really latch on for a full 16 games with any team. But we'll see.
Yeah.
That's really where we are right now. This is so frustrating. All right. So now we got to get to it, which is possibly shaping up to be a bit of a nightmare this week against the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, boy.
They're an 8-5 team. They're coming off two wins, 34-7 over the Cardinals, which, no, not great. Not a great team, rather. But they're coming off 28-12 against the Seahawks, which that's, you know, considerable right now. And I don't know what to expect from these Cowboys. They're not playing to any degree of what they should be.
Not at all.
At least not until they get down by a couple of scores and there's not enough time to do anything about it except put on a good show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which that's what's frustrating me, I think, about the coaching thing, is that we keep doing that. Repeatedly, we've been doing it for a couple of years, too, going back to the first playoff game in 2016 that Dak Prescott played against the Packers. They came out and just outscored the crap out of us in the first half. We start coming back in the second half, but it's not enough. We waited too long. which tells me that I don't think it's the players. I think it's the coaching, the play calling. And because the offensive coordinator changed in that time, I got to think that there's something Garrett is doing in there, that he's either being stubborn and hard-headed and trying to stick with certain things a little too long in the game before he changes it up and finds what works, or I don't know. That's really all I have for that. We can't keep doing that.
I do think that we have been guilty at times of the mentality that our team is so talented that we should just be able to exert our will and overpower the opponent with talent. And that's a mentality right. which was born out of the 90s, and that's when Jason came about. That's when he was influenced. And I feel like he has brought that mentality at times to the Cowboys of now, and it is a flawed mentality when you're not as good as you think you are, when your offensive line isn't as dominant as it used to be, when Ezekiel Elliott isn't quite as, I don't know, he doesn't have the same electric athleticism that he did 4 years ago. I mean, there's these little things where I feel like we're still leaning on stuff as if, oh, we can just outpower you, and that's just not reality anymore.
No, but that's also another frustrating point, is that Zeke isn't playing that bad. He's still over 1,000 yards.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, the Cowboys are the only team in the NFL with three positions with over 1,000 yards. Well, not the only team but they're the only team with a top five player at three positions, which is Dak Prescott with like 4,122 yards, and Amari Cooper with 11 or 1,200 yards, and Ezekiel Elliott with 1,000-something yards. And I look at that, and it just baffles the hell out of me. How do we do that and still lose the games that we've lost?
Situational coaching. Bad decisions in the moment. Those decisions, like whether or not you go for it on fourth down, whether or not you go for the touchdown when you're close to the goal line, or take the field goal in that moment. I mean, it's all those types of things. Those strategic things that really do. I mean, if you're going to point the finger at Garrett for anything, that's where I look at some of those big decisions and things that I haven't agreed with. But I mean, we're still talking about the number one offense in the NFL from a yardage standpoint.
Exactly.
It's absolutely boggling, but they are number one in yardage, but I think they're only ninth or 10th in points. So that tells you something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been coming down a little bit lately, too. They started out a little stronger on the year, but I don't know. What I do know is that the Rams aren't playing, you know, they're not playing lights-out football or anything, but to me, they're a team that's a lot like the Cowboys in that they have the talent individually and have shown with most of this roster that they can pull it together and just absolutely trounce somebody.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
They've done it a couple of times this year, and they've done it a couple of times with this roster and staff.
At worst, the Rams are as good as the Buffalo Bills. They're better than the Bears. They're certainly better than the New York Jets. They're certainly better than, the Saints without Teddy Bridgewater. The Saints without Drew Brees, I mean. This is a team that we have to hope that playing at home and having those extra days of rest from having played a Thursday night game the previous week, the Rams played on Sunday, we have to hope that those things come into play and give us an advantage, because if this is just talent on talent, coaching on coaching, we're going to lose, and we're probably going to lose significantly.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, but you know, I mean, with the games that we've been losing this year, it's not even been significant on all of them. It's been kind of like how the Rams beat the Bears in week 11, which was a 17-7, you know, which is like us playing the Patriots. And it was a close game, like us and the Saints. It shouldn't have happened the way that it did, and yet it did. And like you said, that's probably going to be situational coaching. But now we've had the situational coaching errors that we've had, and the players are starting to show that they're recognizing something's wrong, but they're not fixing it yet. It's more like they're dejected out there.
Yeah, and there are the little things that hopefully can go in our favor. There was something about the last game, I think, where we were +2 in the turnover margin and lost, mm-hmm. and that was like the first time that had happened in eons or something.
Right.
I mean, it's just – it is – we have been the most creative losers in the NFL this year as far as just – it's almost unthinkable the different ways we found to lose games. And it's come down to a variety of things. We wouldn't have lost – was it the Saints game where Zeke and Witten fumbled in the first half?
I don't believe so.
I can't remember which one it was. Maybe that was Jets. Whatever game that was why we lost that game.
I'm thinking that was the Vikings.
Okay. Whichever game that was why we lost. Then there's the game you lose because of Brett Maher. Then there's the game you lose because of not going for it and basically setting yourself up to fail from a coaching standpoint. I mean, it's just so many different things you can point at. And then there's a game like this last one, and this is where I think our greatest level of concern comes in. That game against the Bears, we just quit.
Mm-hmm.
It was just absolute shutdown all through the roster. Defense looked terrible. Offense looked terrible. Jason, he wasn't clapping at that point. And it was just an absolute give up. And my hope is that this 10 days of rest, it allows you to get physically rejuvenated, but also you have now had to sit for 10 days with the feelings from this losing streak, the media swirl about the future, all of these different things. Can you take that and put it in a positive direction as far as you want to go take out all this venom on the Rams? That's the only way this is going to work, is if you channel this negativity into something positive, and that's on Garrett too.
Well, and we're going to have to see how that actually goes, because to me, that's a little bit more difficult to do when you've got stupid reports out there for Dak Prescott with other people saying he's looking like he's going to sign a $400 million contract. And it's hard to... I imagine as a player, it's hard to fully separate out the positive, the negative, the absurd, the ridiculous. It's got to be, I think it has to be a focused effort. I think it has to be a culmination of getting tired of whatever's going on and a will, but also an idea to change. So I don't know if this 10 days off is enough.
It may not be. It probably isn't, honestly, because they've had bye weeks and other things before, and nothing's really turned around from those. So I think the Cowboys are who they are. I think they're every bit of a 6-7 team who can beat the bad teams and can't beat anyone on their level or better. It kind of is what it is. And going back to our original topic, maybe the best thing at this point for this team is to just pack it in and prepare for next year. But if you were going to do that, you should have fired Jason Garrett weeks ago.
Yeah, that's still not what that first topic was about. It's not about the team tanking. It's about the result of a – it's about if they lose out, if this stretch continues throughout the rest of the season, is it better?
Yeah.
Does it inspire the change that's needed, both within the players themselves, and the staff, and all that? You know, we're at a loss. We're just like you folks. We don't know anymore what's going on. We don't think that Jason Garrett does either.
isn't it sad though? I mean, when you're saying that the change that's needed, I'm going back to what I said around the beginning of the show. Are you with me that the change that's needed is the one thing that will never happen until someone dies?
Yep. I am with you on it. I shouldn't want to get into it because I've gotten into it before.
And that is the reality. I think that's where some of us are finally hitting that wall of like, I don't care who the next coach is. I don't care who we draft. we are stuck in Jerry world, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, and even when he retires, I don't know if Steven's going to be any better. I think he might follow a little too much in the footsteps that he's been walking and seeing his father walk the last 10 years.
It's possible. I do wonder about that. I do think that at least the next, if the change that we expect will happen at some point is that Jerry's gone and then you have Will McClay as the general manager, Steven as the VP of operations or whatever, it'll be interesting to see, at least from the standpoint of dealing with the media. I think that we can get away a little bit from the circus. Yeah. And that's what I would like to see, is a little less circus and a little more football.
The big problem that I see with it is we're not really hearing so much about the whole fire the GM thing, where Jerry should just maintain ownership and not be a GM. But instead, we're just hearing more about Jerry Jones as a problem. And to me, that's more telling because, I mean, how many coaches have been, you know, called yes men that would, you know, only that were only acceptable to Jerry because they would do what Jerry told them? When you have a leader of an organization like that, where everything is top down and there's always that one final say under all circumstances, it's hard to get out from under that. So even if Jerry were to bring in a GM, an incredibly talented GM that was very popular with everybody and had a good success rate and started doing well, it would still be difficult to separate Jerry's final say from someone who is still under him. May not be the head coach. Maybe it's a little higher than that, but isn't it still the same net result? I don't think we can get away from that anymore.
Yeah. And I guess that's where I kind of come down to this idea that I just want to see the team get to January and see what happens. And if they can get to the NFC Championship game, great. It'll be a nice story, and it'll be a far better one than we've had most years. And I'll just take that at this point. I'm so depressed.
Wow. Alright, well, let's see how they do against the Rams this week, and we'll take it from there and see what the Eagles are going to get done, because that's going to be important to any chance for us to make the playoffs, because we're not doing it on record alone. Yeah, for now, that's about it. Thanks everybody for sticking with us, of course. Sorry about the last week off there. You can follow Jess Haney on Twitter at Cowboys Addicts. You can follow us at Cowboys Nation. And be sure to check out InsideTheStar.com for all your latest Dallas Cowboys news. Be sure to check us out on Facebook as well at Inside the Star. And as always, go to CowboysWeekly.us to follow the show and interact a little bit. Until we see you next week, let's just hope that the Cowboys do good. Everybody try to have a safe weekend. I know in Texas we're getting a little bit of a break from some of the winter weather right now, so hopefully that'll hold up a little so we can at least enjoy time away from football if it sucks. But be safe and go Cowboys.